God. Get everybody's attention. Hallelujah. Praise God. If you have a Bible, open your Bibles with me to, we're going to start this morning in Matthew 13. But before I do, the Lord just spoke to me while I was sitting there, right there, just now. And he told me to read Isaiah 58, verse 6. I want you to listen to this. He says, "Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? And to let the oppressed go free? And that you break every yoke?" Jesus said, "You shall know the truth. And it's the truth that shall make you free." God is here so that we can be free. We have freedom in Christ Jesus. There's no greater freedom than as being a child of God and having freedom in Christ. See, the enemy wants you to think serving the Lord is hard. But it is not hard serving the Lord. The liar, the adversary is a deceiver. He's a liar. He makes you think that all those things that seem to be good aren't really that good. Most of the things that people think are good for them is what's causing their damage in their lives, what's destroying their mind, their body, their soul, and their spirit. But God's come to through the Word of God that we can have life in the abundance thereof. You know, I was looking at this phone. Now, this is a pretty convenient thing, but it's also a very evil device. And I'm not going to talk about the evil device right now. I might talk about the evil device. Here it comes. This device takes you to places you shouldn't go. Amen? Amen? Men are very visual. There's so many porn sites. The devil will draw you to these sites to feed on the lust of your flesh. Because the spirit man doesn't have anything to do with this. You know, I could say, well, I've got the Bible app in here, and it is. But the truth of the matter is, I don't use it for the Bible app very much. I use it to communicate with the body of Christ. I look at Facebook, and that kind of makes it, that's kind of almost like a joke. Why am I going here? I don't know. Here it goes. The Lord of God, the Word of God says, "Be cold or hot, because you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out of my mouth." In other words, he had just talked about coming here and being something on Sunday and going back to the old man on Monday. Amen. He says, "Choose who you serve." You know, hey, he wants all of you. He's a jealous God. He's a very jealous God. And I didn't have anything to do with the message. I don't know why the Lord saved me here, but he's taking me here for some reason. Evidently, somebody needs to hear what I'm saying. Evidently, we all need to hear what I'm saying. You know, the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I can't be one thing one minute and something else the next minute. That's double-mindedness. That means I don't have no stability. That means I'm not only confusing myself, I confuse others. You know, here's what the Lord is saying. You know, I don't know why. Evidently. You know, the Lord took me this morning. I was in the office and I was studying this morning. And I was seeking the Lord where to go today. And he took me to Ezekiel chapter 8. Ezekiel chapter 8, Ezekiel was caught up in a vision. And God was taking him to the house of God. And he dug a hole in the wall. And the elders were doing abominable things. And then he got into the inner court and the priests were putting branches in their noses. They were worshiping idols. They were worshiping things of the world. God says he called you out of the world. Be ye separate, he says. We're in this world, we're not of this world. And the church has become so seeker-friendly, there's no truth in the word any longer. Everybody's afraid that they might offend somebody's feelings. I'd rather offend you now and see you go to heaven than not offend you and see you go to hell. God wants to speak the truth. Amen. And I don't know where it's coming from, but it's coming from him. God wants to minister to every heart and every life in this room today. He doesn't want any of us to leave here the same way that we came. You know, I look at this phone, and on this phone I have an on and off button. I can turn it on and off. I have a volume button where I can either turn it up or turn it down. I have a light button where I can adjust the brightness of the light. It's called a phone. In the Greek, it's the same word. It comes from the Greek. In the Greek, it's spelled P-H-O-N-E, but it's pronounced phone, phone. And it means the same thing. It's a voice. It's sound. It's a transfer of noise. So today, here's where the Lord wants to take us today. So look in Matthew chapter 13. Verse number 23. No, excuse me, verse 15. The Word of God says, if you're there, say amen. He says, for this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Amen. So we're going to look today, we're going to go and speak out of this on John chapter 10. So turn to John 10. We'll start reading with John 9:41, the last verse of chapter 9. You're with me? Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now ye say, we see, therefore your sin remaineth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. I want to focus your attention to verse number 4 that says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. The title of this morning's message is, His Voice, Our Choice. His Voice, Our Choice. And out of this text today, I want to share with you three things. Our choice to hear his voice, our choice to know his voice, and our choice to obey his voice. Amen. Can we make a declaration today in the house together? Can we lift our word together? Before we lift the word and say something, I just want you to know that first thing that opened up, it was the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And if the Holy Spirit, if there's something in your life that you need to release and let go, today's the day to let go. God's going to give you the strength and power to let it go. Amen? God is the God of today. He's in the healing business. He's in the delivery business. He's a delivering, healing God. Amen? So he wants to do something here today. Amen. We're not just gathered here to hear a little bit. We're here to put action to God's word. Faith without action is dead. Amen. Are you with me here today? So let's lift the word together, make a declaration, say, I believe this is the written word of God. It was written to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today, I will hear God's word, and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Lord, speak to me. My ears are open. My heart is receptive. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we're so grateful today that you sent your word to accomplish something in this house today. So, Lord, we pause and wait on you. May the words that are spoken, may they be words of life. May every last one that's gathered here today be encouraged. Your word declares there is therefore no condemnation to those that are in the Spirit. So, Father God, there's no condemnation coming to anyone. Just like you, Father God, you came to this world not to judge the world, but to save the world. And your word, as we just spoke, it is the bread of life. And as we sang earlier today, Father God, so the breath of heaven, stir up the spirit that's within us and the bread of life. Father God, stir us up. Stir us to action in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Phone A, our phone, okay? We're going to talk about our choice. His voice, our choice. It's our choice to hear his voice. In John chapter 3, we find that John the Baptist said, I must decrease that he may increase. And I kind of like John chapter 3, 29. As a man, I don't know if there's anybody else besides me, but as a man, I have a problem being the bride of Christ. I don't mind the church being the bride of Christ, but when I think of myself, I look at myself as a bride. So I love the way that John the Beloved wrote this in John 3:29. And John the Baptist is speaking. He says, he that have the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth here of him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. And this, my joy is therefore fulfilled, okay? And when I was looking at this, he said, hey, John was saying, hey, I'm a groomsman. And what a groomsman does, he waits upon the groom. He's there to honor the groom. Jesus is the groom. And men, we are groomsmen. Just as the women in the congregation are the bridesmaids. The bridesmaids are to minister to the bride. We're to minister to one another the love of Jesus. He says, and one thing is when the groom is speaking, the groomsmen are listening. If they're there to serve the groom. It's the groom's day. It's the bride's day. Amen. So we gather around. I don't know if you've ever been in a wedding party, but you're there to celebrate the bride and the groom. And you and I, and the voice of the Lord has said, he's called us to be groomsmen and bridesmaids to minister upon. And the bride is an overall picture of the church. It's not a picture of, as a man, God's not asking me to marry Jesus, but I'm in a relationship with him. I'm in an intimate relationship with him. And this intimacy doesn't have anything to do with sex. Sex isn't love. Hello? Sex isn't love. Sex is an act of reproduction. Man has said that that's part of the love. They start to think, let me make love to you. Well, it's not love. Amen? Amen? So God was in an intimate relationship with us. And when you spend time with somebody, you get to know their voice. Amen? And in other words, even when someone knows your voice, like Judy, for example, Judy is blind in the natural, but in the spiritual, she sees, but she hears. I can't disguise my voice. All right? Because she knows my voice. She is familiar with my voice, so I can't disguise it. And God wants you and I to understand when we clearly know his voice, other voices won't confuse us. Amen? Because we know the voice of the Lord. The Word of God says in John 18:37, last week we had the crucifixion and the resurrection. And verse 37, the Word of God says, Pilate therefore said unto them, Art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness of the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. If you are of the truth, if you're a child of God, you hear the voice. But is it like this phone? Sometimes we put it on mute. Sometimes we turn the volume down real low so that we don't hear him. But as a child of God, he says, he that is of the truth knows and hears my voice. This is Jesus, man. That's some powerful stuff there. Let me get to where I was. My phone interrupted me. How about John chapter 8? Verse number 47. Hallelujah. Jesus on the line, tell him to come in. Hallelujah. The Bible says in John 8:47, this is Jesus speaking. He says, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. In other words, if you're a child of God, you hear his words. Amen? We're opening up our hearing senses today. Amen? We want to turn up the volume. How do I increase God's volume? I have to be like John the Baptist. I have to decrease so he can increase. Amen? In other words, I got to drown out some of the noises in the world so I can clearly hear his voice. I got to get alone with him sometimes. You know, we become so busy and there's so many things to take our attention and distract us. Amen? There's all kinds of distractions. Amen? Amen? You know, it seems like every time you try to do something good, something comes up, right? Your wife isn't, your woman isn't a distraction. She's your attraction. And turn with me to Revelation chapter 3 a minute. Andy, I was thinking about you when I was looking at the scripture. Andy, I don't know if any of you have seen Andy. Andy's an artist, man. He just takes something and puts it on canvas, and it looks so beautiful. It's a gift, man. Such a gift that God has given him, you know. And I saw this picture one time where Jesus says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. And this artist's rendering of this was there was a picture of a door. The door opened to the outside. The knob was on the inside. And Jesus was on the outside of the door knocking. In other words, God is not going to push the door open. God is not going to force anything on you and I. But he gently knocks on your heart's door. And if you open the door, he'll come in. I was with my granddaughter the day before yesterday. And my granddaughter made a statement, and it really spoke to me this morning when I was in here. She was talking about this boy. And she said, "Papa, I love him because I have to." That isn't love. I love you because I want to. If God forced you to love him, what kind of love would that be? But God opens up his arms of love to you, saying, "Whosoever will." He doesn't force himself on anyone. He comes in as a perfect gentleman. So when she said that, man, it's just like, okay, I want to choose to love people. I don't want to love somebody because I have to. I want to love somebody because I want to. I want to love somebody because the spirit of love is flowing through my life, and that spirit of love is what's coming out. That's the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love. How many of you thought the same thing? Well, I'll love because I have to. You know, it's our choice to hear his voice. He said in Revelation 3:21, "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I have also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that have an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Amen. Our choice. His voice, our choice. First, to hear his voice. Secondly, to know his voice. Boy, we sang that song. I want to know you. You just sang it a minute ago.
I know the song.
Okay.
I want to know you. I want to hear your voice. I want to know you more. I want to touch you. I want to see your face. I want to know you more.
Amen. Just like Judy. And knowing my voice, she hears my voice, but she knows my voice because of the familiarity with it. Okay? So turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2 a minute. I try to make this just as plain and simple as possible. Amen? 2 Timothy verse number 11. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, but shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto the more ungodliness. And their world and in their word will eat as doeth a canker, of whom Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrown the faith of some. I was reading this article. I saw this article about Larry King Live. There was a minister on Larry King Live. He's a well-known minister. It doesn't matter who his name is. But the question was asked, is Jesus the only way to heaven? And this man responded, that's up to God. True story on Larry King Live. I want you to understand something with me today. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and no man can come to the Father but by him. No one's getting to heaven any other way. There's not no shortcut. There's no other direction. There's one way for a man to be saved, and that's by putting your trust in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. He is the only way. He is the only truth. He is the only life. Hallelujah. In other words, the church has become so seeker-friendly, they're afraid to tell the truth. Amen. We're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto the salvation. Hallelujah. Praise God. Turn with me to John chapter 10. Jesus said, John 10:25, I told you, you believe not the works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you believe not because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. In other words, God ain't going to let nothing pluck you out of his hand, but he sure gives you the right to walk away because it's his voice, our choice. There was another statement that was made in this interview. I know it had grieved God. It grieved me just when I heard it. When I heard it, it made me angry. There was a question about sexual sins, homosexuality and perversion. And the response was, God rebuke Peter and Paul and John for writing such things. These are men of God that are standing up and trying to build these mega ministries. They're telling everybody what they want to hear. I can't tell you, the truth doesn't always feel good. Hello? First John chapter 4. We're talking about hearing the truth. We're talking about the word. Jesus. Hey, let me say something to you. I said it the other night when we were Bible study. Let me say something to you. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He will not change. His word will not change. So this is stable. This is stability. So what needs to change? Do I adjust the word to me, or do I need to adjust me to the word? In other words, I can't twist this thing around and adjust it to my simple lifestyle. Amen. I got to let God arise and let the enemy be scattered. Amen. And in other words, if something is evil, you call it evil. If something is sin, you call it sin. You know, we're not here to judge anybody. We're here to love you and love you into the kingdom of God. Amen. But if you love something, if you saw your child playing in the highway, would you ignore it and say he's going to learn his lesson? Come on, would you? What would you do? In love, you would correct them, right? Does anybody correct their children in love? My daddy believed in spare the rod, spoil the child. I wasn't spared and I wasn't spoiled. Amen. But 1 John 4:6 says, we're of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. What is the Lord saying to them? He is saying, hey, he putteth forth his sheep, and he goeth before them. The sheep follow him because they know his voice. His voice, our choice. His voice, our choice to hear his voice. Our choice to know his voice, And the third thing is our choice to obey. Most of the time when I was in the getting the rod of correction, where my dad wasn't spoiling me, it was because I was disobedient. And as men and women of God, if we're not teaching our children to be obedient, shame on us. The Bible says, train them up in the way and they shall not depart from them. Amen. Now, I didn't spank my children. I had a different way of correction. They were corrected. I didn't use the rod, but I surely believed in correction. Amen. So look at the third thing we want to look at is to obey his voice. Look with me in Romans chapter 6, verse 16. He says, know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. What did Jesus say? Blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Matthew 5, 6. You know, turn with me in Mark chapter 8. Verse number 34. The Bible says, and when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, lest there be more of him, and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever shall lose his life for my sake in the gospels, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words and this adulterous and simple generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We're not ashamed of who we serve. Why in the world would we be ashamed of serving God? I don't know about you, but I know who delivered me, Jesus. Who set me free? Jesus. Amen. Who called me into ministry? Jesus. Who gave me the Holy Spirit? Jesus. Who gives me all good things? Jesus. Why in the world would I be ashamed of Jesus? Amen. Just me? Amen. Jesus said in John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Amen. You know, so what is he saying to you and I simply in closing today? In verse 5 of John 10, he says, and a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 14 for a moment. I want to explain before I do this. I'm not taking this scripture out of context. The church of Corinth was in confusion. There was different languages that were being spoken and people weren't having understanding. There was confusion. And in chapter 11, 12, 13, and 14, Paul speaks on gathering together. He starts with breaking the bread. And and the blood, and it goes into 12 and the gifts of the Spirit, 13, and starts out with the love, and then 14, he closes the lesson. But I'm doing this with permission. He said in verse 10 in 1 Corinthians 14, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that you may excel to the edifying of the body or the church. And here's what the Lord was saying to me. There's so many voices in this world today. There's so much mass media of voices that are speaking, and everyone's hearing so many voices. And what God is saying, if the voice does not align with his word, be a barbarian to it. Don't receive it. Don't take it. He said, he putteth forth his own sheep, and he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. Every word that doesn't align with this word is not from him. And I'm not saying align with Pastor Carl. I'm not a perfect man. I just serve a perfect God. Amen. And what he was saying, just as there were so many different languages in the world and some people were being confused, there's so many voices out there. There's so many voices out there. This is okay, that's okay, you can do this, you can do that. Go ahead, don't go, don't go. And the church is so confused, they don't know which way to turn. But God says, trust me with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all of your ways, you acknowledge me, and I'm going to direct your path. He says the steps of a good man or a woman have been ordered by God, and they find delight in their way. God has a plan in every heart and every life in this room. He is not going to change his mind concerning you. The Bible says the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, like some men count slackness, but he's long-suffering toward us. He's not willing that any of us should perish, but that all would come to repentance, or would allow God to help us change our mind. He ain't going to change our mind. It's up to you and I. So in closing today, what is God saying today? He says it's his voice. It's our choice. It's our choice to hear it. It's our choice to know it. And it's our choice to obey it. In the closing moments of the service today,